Right, scripture reading tonight, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 1 through verse 15. Philippians 3, verses 1 through verse 15. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Pray that you use what's been read. And then, Lord, the expounding upon the scriptures, Lord, I pray you use all this, speak to our hearts, draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you tonight, and I appreciate seeing faithful people, even on Wednesday night. I know sometimes people are working and are not always able to make it. I also know that we live in a time when people don't count Wednesday nights as quite as important as it once was. And so I know there's a mixture of those things that affect our Wednesday night services, but I appreciate a church that continues to do what God would have you to do. And I want to encourage you in that. And as we look at this scripture tonight, this past week we had a revival service at our church, and the evangelist who came preached through the book of Philippians the whole week. And it's one of my favorites, maybe my favorite. Honestly, a lot of times when people get saved and they're hungry for the word of God, I say, read Philippians. A lot of people say John and Romans and such as that, but I say Philippians. It has a lot of very practical things in here, and things that help us to rejoice, and it focuses on Jesus Christ. 30-something times Jesus Christ is mentioned in this book in just four chapters. Rejoicing is mentioned like 18 times, joy and rejoicing. It's a wonderful book, and it's packed full of milk and meat for the Christian. And hopefully to give you just a little bit of some of that tonight. In each chapter of Philippians, God speaks to us about our mind. Our mindset, our way of thinking. You know what? The devil is sure out to try to wreck our minds. And he's got a lot of devices to do that. And that's a scriptural word, by the way. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. Kind of amazing that some of our gadgets today are called devices, isn't it? Chapter 1, he speaks about the single mind. The single mind. He says here in verse 27 of chapter 1, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I want to encourage you as a church to be unified, have a single mind, but as an individual also. The Bible says in the book of James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so sometimes people can't seem to make up their mind that they're going to serve God. So be single-minded. Like Paul said there in chapter 1, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's pretty single-minded, amen? Chapter 2 speaks of being a submissive-minded. He says in verse 5 of chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind? He begins to describe about being humble, being submissive. Chapter 3 speaks of the spiritual mind. In the verse 15, we just read, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." God says, look, if you've been saved and you've grown in the Lord, keep that mind, a spiritual mind. Chapter 4 has to do with a secure mind. In verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That word "keep" means to guard or to protect, to secure. And so I believe the devil is after our minds to try to take us away from right thinking, to try to take us away from serving God. And so this book's really good. We're going to look at chapter 3 here and focus in a little bit closer on some of the verses that we read tonight. Chapter 3 has to do with being spiritually minded. Why should we be spiritually minded? Because the Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Romans chapter 8. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Why be spiritually minded? Because really, when it comes down to it, not for our benefit altogether, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of everything. Notice in verse 7, these phrases, verse 7 and 8 and verse 10, the phrase that says, "For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." And then in verse 8, "that I may win Christ." In verse 10, "that I may know him." I believe the reason to be spiritually minded, or the reason to ask God to help us to be spiritually minded, the reason to get into the scriptures, the reason to be in the house of God, the reason to serve the Lord, is for the Lord's sake, that we might know him, that we would have that mindset of that Christ has, that I may win Christ, that will draw nigh to God. The Bible says he will draw nigh to us. A good reason to be spiritually minded is for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verses 5 and 6, Paul lists some things that he once considered to be gain and to be profitable in his life. He listed some things that he considered to be an advantage to him. His circumcision, and he was an Israelite. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was the top of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He had zeal, and he had the law's righteousness, things that he counted as being very important in his life. Then he says, "Those I counted loss for Christ," in verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Paul uses the word "counted," or some form of it four times in these verses that we read. It means to reckon, to place to an account, to consider as belonging to a certain account or category. It's very similar to the one in verse 13. He uses, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." He uses it there again. And that one in verse 13 is a little different. It means to take an inventory to see what's on hand and calculate a value. Now, I'll be honest with you. Last week, this is really fresh on my mind because our brother preached last week and through the book of Philippians, and he just touched a little bit on that inventory. Taking inventory of our lives. He just touched it briefly, but boy, how the Lord struck my heart with that thought. And I remember where I used to work, we'd have to take inventory every so often to see what's on hand and calculate its value. Businesses routinely take a physical inventory of their supplies because counts have a way of becoming incorrect. Anybody here ever been involved in having to take inventory at a business? Two or three? Okay. There's a reason for that, and sometimes that is very painstaking. It's aggravating. It was aggravating to me because when I got into management, it was part of my duty to do the last week of the year, and it was our vacation. And yet I had to come in and do inventory. So when I hear inventory, I get a little upset. So businesses take inventory. They try to see where they stand with whatever's sitting on the shelf or what's already maybe been completed, if it's a business that assembles and puts things together, or even things that are a work in progress. They count how much of a value all these things have so they can see where they're at in their profit and loss. All of this concerns profit and loss. And merchandising, my son, I have a son that works at Walmart. And in merchandising, a store wants to see what items are making them the most money and what items are costing them to keep on the shelf. Businesses are looking to make a profit, a gain in money, and not a loss in money. The idea is to eliminate the losses and invest more in what profits them. When I worked at Sims Superior Seating before we moved here, I worked there for 25 years. And one time we ordered some polyfoam. We did upholstery. We built restaurant and hotel seating and such as that. And one time we ordered some polyfoam wrong. And all it took was a couple of changes of a letter in ordering that polyfoam, and it came in like it felt like a brick. It was hard. And we were thinking, wow, we can't use this hardly on anything that we know of, but we had ordered it, so we put it in stock and put it up on the shelf. And I was the one that ordered the foam, so part of that was my fault, you know. So I kept trying to keep an eye on any job that somehow we might use that polyfoam for. In the year, we did inventory on it. And we counted it in on the property value. And they paid taxes on it. Then the next year, inventoried it again. We had a little dot on it. This has been inventory one time. Inventoried again. Paid taxes on it again. We ended up throwing it away. So we paid money on that because it was wrong stuff we ordered. We paid money on property taxes for it twice. We paid money on somebody going in and counting it, taking time to count it. And then when we threw it away, I don't know if you understand what polyfoam's made of, but it has some environmental issues. Anyway, it cost all the way around. What the Lord here is saying is that we as Christians need to take inventory of our lives. There are some things in our lives that will profit us and make a gain in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some things in our lives that may cause us to lose and take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to take an inventory of our lives and count the things that are gained and count the things that are lost concerning our walk with God. Now, first of all, tonight, I hope it's obvious that if you have sin in your life, this is definitely a loss. Sin definitely hurts our walk with the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 6 and 7. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with the Lord, with God, and walk in darkness, how do you walk in darkness? You live in sin. We lie and do not the truth, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If I have sin in my life, it is going to hurt my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like sometimes in our life, like my father and I, we have a good relationship. I don't get to see him very often because he lives about 3,000 miles away. But we have a good relationship. But some don't have a good relationship with their father. Some children do not. And they may do something that kind of hinders that fellowship, but their relationship never changes. They're still that child of that father. But their fellowship with their father is hindered or hampered. And actually, I got a little feeling about how the Lord must feel, because I've got a child or two that's in that state right now towards me. And it hurts. You see, sin in our life hurts our walk with God. And we can cover up sin, and we can still carry on and make everybody around us think that everything's okay. But if it's not okay between us and our Lord, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It won't be long anyway before it'll show up. The truth will come out. So first of all, inventory of our life. Is there any sin in our life that we know of, that God has told us, made us very clear of, that we need to get rid of? And we're taught today, I say we and our kids in the schools are taught, that there are no absolutes. So whatever you feel is sin will be sin, but somebody else may not. But we got to go by the absolutes of the Word of God. It does not change. And God says certain things are wrong. We just got to know that they're wrong. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He says, hey, we need to lay aside the sin that easily besets us, that we're beset. I used to think, well, it has to do with getting me off course, and I'm sitting down on the bench on the sideline watching everybody else run. That's not what it means. I have found a lot of value in looking up words with an old dictionary and finding a little bit more of an idea of what they mean. But it means to be waylaid. It means to, like somebody, while you're running the race, somebody come up behind you and attack you from behind and knock you down and pull you over the side and beat the fool out of you and leave you laid in the bushes for dead. He says sin will beset us from the race. So sin. But not only sin, there's another word he uses here, and it's called weight. And it's representing anything that would hinder. It may not necessarily be a sin, but anything that would hinder. When people get out to run a race, I notice they kind of get into these clothes that are very lightweight. They don't want to have weights on. They may put weights on in training, but not to run the race. God says, look, you're in this Christian life, and if you got weights, something that's hindering you from running like you could or like you should, You need to lay it aside. Take inventory of your life. This weight. Sometimes things that we count, we're going back to Philippians and that thought of that word count, to reckon, to, if you want to say, take count of and take these things and put them into a certain category, or the way we'd look at it, certain columns on our Excel spreadsheet. And this column is gain and this column is loss. And we may have our ideas on some things in our life that are really gain to us. But you know what? The Holy Spirit may see it as different. It may be a job that is hindering us from getting closer to God. I've seen this happen. Look, I've seen well-meaning people that were praying for a job. And look, it's good to work. God ordained work before sin ever hit the world, the earth. He told Adam to dress the garden and to keep it. All right? He was to, if you want to say, work the garden. Work's good. And people, everybody shouldn't be trying to wait around for a handout from somebody. But what happens sometimes is that somebody maybe prays for a job and they get a job and immediately that job's taking them out of church right off the bat. Oh, I'm just going to say, please be very careful, because I know God can supply something a little better than that. I'm just saying, it may be a job that keeps us from getting closer to God. It may be friends. The young people today have a hard time finding godly friends. They are few and very far between. But you know what? Our friends have an impact on our lives more than what we want to count or consider or regard. Lot heard in Sodom and what he saw, the Bible says that he hurt his righteous soul by witnessing, hearing, and seeing those ungodly deeds going on in Sodom. What I'm saying is our friends may be somebody or something that holds us back from serving God like we should. It may be hobbies. It may be music. Listen, by the way, music is very powerful for good or bad. You know, Satan was a created musical being. Look it up. The Bible talks about the day when he was created, he had pipes and tabrets created in him. He knows how to manipulate music. And so we got young people today, and again, I'm going back to the young people scene because that's what I'm seeing it really hit, is they've got to have seemed like music of the world. And I've seen some of them embrace some of the music that's called contemporary Christian music. If you're listening to that kind of music, I'm not against you. I'm just saying you might want to think about it. You might want to pray about it. Because I see the next step is they get into something a little bit harder. And then the next thing I've seen, some of these young people, they're just listening to all-out, wicked, ungodly rock music. And this stuff contains things that takes us away from God, not closer. I mean, as we let that progress. What about TV? I tell you what, a lot of stuff on TV, and now even the advertisements. And there's eating joints I just quit going to. I ain't went to since I seen an ungodly commercial they put on. Amen. I'm just saying it will grieve you. It will hint. What is it? Take inventory in our life. And what is it that is really getting me closer to Christ? Put that in this one column. This is good. This is truly gain to me. And what is it that may be? And I'm going to tell you. Here's the way you do it. You say, Holy Spirit of God, would you show me the things that are helpful in my walk with Christ? and the things that are hurting me. Now, I bid you to do it honestly. If you really do want to get a closer walk with Christ, in which we all should desire that, you'll ask him. I had to ask him last week when that inventory was spoken of and this counting in that manner. I just began to step back and went, "Whoa, Lord, all right, it's time for me. What about my prayer life? Let's talk about things that are gained. I kind of hit on some things that are lost. I didn't hit on some of it. Social media. I'm not saying it's a loss, but it can be. I know some people that stay on Facebook. That's their life. They don't have a social life no more because it's all on Facebook, right there on their little phone. It's a good preaching night, ain't it, man? Yeah, anybody stand up and say amen if you want to? Shout, run around the room or anything? I'm from the South, so that's where we did it sometime. You know, that phone can become a hindrance. My computer. Sometimes, I'll tell you what, we get caught up in these things. And we got these categories I think we ought to look at. The category of our time. If we could take the 24 hours that we have in every day and begin to break that 24 hours down, how we spend our time every day, how much of that time includes time with Christ? And then we start painting a picture and say, "Whoa, my inventory is getting off kilter a little bit here. How much of my treasures, when I look at my bank account, And I see all these transactions, how much of that really goes for God?" You know what? I'm appalled by people that say, "Pastor, I don't really have no money to give God." But they had a 2016 truck last year, and they got a 2017 one this year. And they're buying this, they're buying that, they're buying huge equipment, but they got no money to give God. I'm just talking about things that hinder, that are loss, or things that will gain, help our walk with Christ. Everybody with me tonight? Okay. Because listen, the size of our church doesn't matter. And I'm not saying we don't want it to grow, we do. But it doesn't matter. And what so-and-so across the room is doing, as a Christian or not, doesn't matter. My walk with Christ is what matters the most, the most, the most, the most. If my walk with Christ is right, then maybe I can help somebody else get closer to the Lord. Real quickly here, Romans 8. An awesome chapter in the Bible. Romans 8. Here we have a contrast of walking after flesh or after the Spirit. And it's interesting as you read in this, the beginning of this chapter, he uses the word in, the Spirit, or in the flesh. And then he uses the word after. And they mean two different things. In this chapter here, he's making a contrast. The word in means a fixed position. The word after means according to the influence of. Now look at verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now a lot of your new Bibles stop right there. And they say that next phrase doesn't belong in there. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You know, if I was convicted and I wasn't going to repent, I'd probably take that last phrase out too. Amen. But there is condemnation. Condemnation doesn't just mean hell. It means a decision made against a wrong that's been made obvious to a person. In other words, those that are walking in the Spirit are after the spirit and not after the flesh, there is no condemnation. There is no conviction upon their heart because they're right with God. But those that are living after the flesh or walking after the flesh, there's going to be a condemnation upon their heart if they're truly saved. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, those that live according to the influence of the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. We know the flesh has to do with our sinful nature. But they that are after or according or along the lines of the influence of the Spirit, they like the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh, that's a difference. It's not after, but in the flesh, cannot please God. A person that's lost is in the flesh. They're not in the Spirit. They're living their life in a fixed position. They're lost. And so they cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but we're debtors to the Spirit to live after the Spirit. Doesn't say it here, but that's exactly the implication there. We're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. So he's talking to Christians. He says, if you're lost, you're just in the flesh. There's no way you can be in the Spirit. But if you're saved, you have a choice of walking after the flesh according to the influence of the flesh, or you can walk according to the influence of the Spirit. This comes back down to this same thought of taking inventory in our life. Is there things in my life that I am following the influence of my old nature compared to things that I am following the influence of a new nature, the Spirit of God? Walking after the Spirit is great gain. Amen. As the Holy Spirit begins to point out these gains and losses, by the way, prayer is a gain. Bible study is a gain. Being in the house of God is a gain. Telling other people about Christ, these are all gains. These are all profitable to the child of God. As the Holy Spirit begins to point out these things that are gain and these things that are loss, we need to take inventory and remove the things that don't belong and to employ, if we're not already, those things that are gain. And maybe employ more time into those things that are gain. Sometimes getting rid of the things that the Holy Spirit points out to us hurts. Just give you a quick little example. You know, if my little phone's supposed to be a smartphone, but it's kind of dumb sometimes. Very fitting for me anyway, right? What if we were to do without that for a week? Most of us would go, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. I can't do without my phone for a week. What do people used to do, amen? We have a young man that's, him and his family just came back and joined our church. They had been with us close to the beginning of our starting the ministry, and he went and pastored in Idaho for a while. They just came back, and he's preaching tonight. When he came back, he preached a message about bondage. And he said, it's amazing that things that we become in bondage to. If you can't do without something, chances are we're in bondage to it. But sometimes some of these things can rob us of our time with God. You know, the Old Testament and the New Testament speaks of circumcision. And circumcision pictures, listen, a cutting away of the flesh. It is allowing God to cut away from our hearts anything that stands in the way of our fellowship with Christ. And some of those things will hurt. Not everything that he's talking about is bad, but to look and see, is it gain or loss? The things that are excellent here in Philippians 3, and I'm going to be done, he talks about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. To win Christ, to gain ground in our walk with Christ. He talks about to know the power of Christ, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He talks about pressing toward the mark. He talks about apprehending things of Christ. So with the help of the Lord, are you and I willing to take inventory or ask the Lord to help us to take inventory and find out, is there anything in my life that I need to embrace? Anything in my life I need to count as a loss and lay it aside for the glory of God? I guarantee you, if we'll obey the Holy Spirit for Christ's sake, we'll be glad we did. It'll make a big difference in our lives. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, you might minister the Word of God, Lord, the truths that we all maybe need as individuals, slightly different from one to another. But I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just open our hearts and show us, Lord, any action that we might need to take in our life to count some things lost that we see as gain, but you see it differently, and maybe hindering our walk with you. I pray, God, that you'd just help us be willing to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.